greetings to each one here this morning in the precious name of Jesus, the one that came as the perfect Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I'm so thankful this morning that we do not live back under the Old Testament times where we would sacrifice animals to just cover our sins. But I'm thankful that the blood of Jesus can wash away our sins and give us new life. I invite you to open your Bibles to Numbers 22 this morning. I want to think about Balaam. I'm sure even the young children among us could tell us something about Balaam. But I think there's lessons here for us as adults too, that the account that we have of Balaam is, there's various lessons that we can apply to our lives. I'll begin with reading the first 21 verses here in Numbers 22. The children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this, on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people, because there were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, "Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field." And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, "Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed." And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam, spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, "Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me." And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, "What men are these with thee?" And Balaam said unto God, "Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, 'Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them, peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out.'" God said unto Balaam, "Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, "Get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you." The princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, "Balaam refuseth to come with us." Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said unto him, "Thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people." And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, "If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more." God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, "If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto you, that shalt thou do." And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Leave off reading there. There are those that would say that Balaam followed the unholy practice of Eastern soothsayers, and could easily be. because of what it says in chapter 24, verse 1. But when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek for enchantments. But we do know that Balaam had a knowledge of God. He did. to what extent, I don't really know. But at least when these princes came from King Balak to visit Balaam and to tell him that Balak wanted him to come, his mind went to God. He said, well, let's see what God says. And I appreciate that. Balaam said in verse 8, I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. Verse 9, as the Lord came to Balaam. And God, in verse 12, then gave Balaam a message. He said, thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. So at this point, we can say that all was well. Balaam gave them the message. But you know, King Balak was very fearful. And in verse 4, it talks about how that this company shall lick up all that are round about us as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And so Balak was fearful. His people were fearful. And so he sent these messengers with the rewards of divination in their hand. There's lessons that we can learn here, I believe. One is that the first one I have is that the world is constantly coming to us with what appears to our eyes as something that's desirable. We go back to the temptation there in the Garden of Eden. It was the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Just like it says in 1 John 2:16 or 17 there, that temptations come to us through these three ways. And Balak didn't just send these messengers without a reward. If you come and curse me this people, then this treasure, all this that I've sent with these my messengers will be yours. And you know, that's the way the world, the devil comes to us today yet. He tries to lure us away with the glitter and things that the world has to offer that truly is worthless. It's worthless. It might have some value for time, but only for time. It's not true value. I don't know what all the rewards of divination was, but I do know that the things that this world has to offer is not what we look for. It is only for time. And after getting these earthly treasures, there's still a void there. There's still an emptiness in the heart. 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away in the lust thereof. Another lesson that we can glean from this account. Verse 8. Balaam said, lodge here this night, and I will bring your word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. And I think the lesson that we glean here is that we must seek God's will in every choice, every decision that we make. Yes, Balaam had a decision to make. And I appreciate the fact that he wanted some time to commune with God. He told the messengers to lodge here that night. He would give them an answer in the morning. But notice God's faithfulness. He gave Balaam very clear direction. And I believe that as we in this life come up against something, we need to make a decision. We need to make a choice. Each time we need to take this to the Lord in prayer. We need to seek His counsel. Seek His guidance. God has also given us a brotherhood, a spiritual family to help us in making these choices and decisions. And I'm thankful for that. But you know, I kind of have this feeling that Balaam was not real happy with the message that God gave him. Verse 13 says, Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the prince of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. Now maybe I'm reading more into that than what I should, but God told him, no, I don't want you to go. These people are blessed, and you're not to curse them. But when Balaam said that God refuseth to let me go, it gives me the idea that maybe there was Balaam tried to pressure God into letting him go. I don't know. I wasn't there. But that word refuseth just kind of gave me the idea that maybe Balaam was not real happy with God's answer. And you know, as human beings, sometimes don't we find it that way? We know, yeah, this is what God wants me to do, and I want to do it, but deep down inside, we're not real happy with it. And I'll just tell you, brothers and sisters, that if that feeling is not crucified, it will finally take us the wrong way. We must find joy in knowing God's will and doing and being obedient to His will. I believe that obedience to God must come from a pure heart, a heart that is single in its devotion. The type of obedience where I have to do this, I have to do that, is really no better than pure out disobedience. I believe that. And if I'm wrong, I stand correction. But if I know that what God wants me to do and I don't find joy in being obedient, but I just do it because, you know, God wants me to, and I don't think I'll last long in my Christian life that way. God wants us to obey Him because we love Him. We know that this is the best for us. God never makes a mistake. And what He has for us is for our eternal good. I believe if we obey because we're forced to, it will result in finally in full out disobedience to the Lord. Another lesson found in verses 15 through 21. Here King Balak sent more princes and more honorable than the first ones. Ranked higher in his kingdom than the first ones that he sent. And he says, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. You know, I think of how Jesus was in the wilderness. He was tempted with the devil. And the devil just pled with him, fall down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. Well, here Balak was putting this in front of Balaam. If you just come and do what I want you to do, I'll promote you to great honor. Oh, you'll have everything your heart could desire. It's a lie of the devil. When the devil comes to us with that kind of reasoning, let us remember that God is the one that bestows real blessings upon us. It's not the devil. It's not his agenda. We're reading on here. Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. But then he says, now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And here's a lesson I think that's very important for us to learn. I trust we've learned it already. But we have a lot of young people coming on, and young people, remember this truth. If you don't remember anything else I say this morning, remember that when God's word says something, that's final. We do not look for another revelation. God's word is truth. And just as God told Balaam that first night not to go with him, this is a blessed people, you're not to curse them, that was God's will the second time these princes came. But Balaam was, I think he was insistent on wanting to go. The appeal to fame and riches was great in his, it was a great pull on him. And so he wanted to ask the Lord again what he should do. But beloved, let's never try to find another way of bypassing what God has already made clear to us. It appears to me that Balaam was a double-minded person. James chapter 1 and verse 8, it says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. On one hand, Balaam wanted to do what God told him, and yet on the other hand, the pull to fame and riches and honor was such a pull. It was like, you know, like we see children playing sometime tug of war, you know, which side will win? Well, here he was pulled between two. He knew what God wanted, but yet what his flesh wanted was so strong. He said, let me see what God will say tonight. Let's be careful. Let's be careful in that. God had given him clear direction. It was not his will for Balaam to go with those princes. You know, God made us be free moral agents. We don't hear that expression very often anymore in those terms, but it just simply means that God created us in a way that we can choose if we will serve him or if we will serve the devil. We have that choice. God will not force anyone to serve him. Oh, he wants us to. He wants everyone to come to Jesus and allow the blood of Jesus to cleanse them from their sin. He wants everyone to find the joy and peace in a full surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But God will not force anyone against their will. I cannot make the choice for you, and you cannot make it for me. But when God's word is clear, And we have a brotherhood that to help us when we maybe do not understand how something is, what God's will is. We have those that can counsel us in the right way. And Balaam made the awful mistake of saying, let me see what God will say tonight. You know, brothers and sisters, that there comes a time when we reject the truth that finally God will allow us to believe a lie. He will. Because he will not force us to do his will. He wants us to. He wants it so badly that he sent Jesus to pay the price of our redemption. But he will not force us to accept Jesus as our Savior. We find an account in 1 Kings that I do want to look at. 1 Kings chapter 22. We have a very sobering account of how King Ahab wanted confirmation from the prophets that the thing that he wanted to do was right. It was the right decision. I'll read the first 8 verses here in 1 Kings 22. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the 3rd year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. The king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. He said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people is thy people, my horses is thy horses. Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom you may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. We'll drop down to verse 15, read through 23. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, Go, prosper. The Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. The king said unto him, How many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep not having a shepherd. And the Lord said, These have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, Did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he said, Hear thou, therefore, the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him, and on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. There came forth a spirit, and stood before the Lord, and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, Wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, Thou shalt persuade him, and prevail also. Go forth, and do so. It's a sad story. How the king of Israel was so bent on doing his own will, having his own agenda, that he despised the true prophet of God. Because he said, he always prophesies against me. Finally, God allowed this spirit. If you noticed, the word spirit there was not with a capital letter.
S. So it was not the Holy Spirit of God that said that he would go to him and be a lying spirit. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. New Testament teaching that is so important for us today, because many false spirits are going out into the world. Like it says here, 1 John 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit. And notice that, again, the S in spirit is not capitalized. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, and it's capitalized here. The Spirit of God, or the Holy Spirit. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and so forth. But the point is that we must try the spirits. We live in a day and time when there are many, many false teachers, false spirits going out into the world. I'm sure probably most of us here in this congregation this morning have relatives that have once known the truth, turned their backs on it. I know a lady is not living anymore, but for years and years she wore the covering like 1 Corinthians 11 would teach. Their church apostatized, went farther and farther away from truth. This lady was minister's wife. Finally, she removed her covering. She told someone that was asking her about it, how could you do that? She said, well, all the other sisters did it, and they seemed to be at peace. So I took mine off, and I'm at peace with it. Brethren, that was a lying spirit that told them that it was no longer needed. It was. It was not the Spirit of God. Let us be careful. We could go on even down to divorce and remarriage. I personally know of an account where suddenly a young lady was widowed. Her husband was killed in an automobile accident. And a divorced man became interested in her. And so she began to pray to God. Well, God, what is your will? Did very much like Balaam did the second night when the messengers came. God, what is your will in all this? And finally, the answer became very clear that it's fine. Go ahead and marry him. It's a lying spirit. St. John. But Jesus taught concerning the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. All things whatsoever I have said unto you. And brothers and sisters, right here in this book, we have the words of Jesus. We have his will. We have, yes, it's his will for us. And the Holy Spirit of God never disagrees with what the Word of God says. Because this is Jesus. This is Jesus' will for us. He came in the flesh. He returned to heaven, but we cannot separate him from his word. So in a sense, we have Jesus with us in his word here today. Chapter 15 and verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, of Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God testifies of Jesus. And what he did, in his words, a lying spirit does not testify of Jesus unless it's in half-truths and in such a way as to deceive.
Jesus said here that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of truth. The devil is a liar. There's no truth in him. So any spirit that does not agree with the Word of God is a false spirit, not the Spirit of God. Going back to Numbers 22, verse 20, God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. If you go down in verse 21, he says, and Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Again, maybe I'm reading something in there that is not there, but it just seems to me like he's got his answer and he was ready to go. He wanted that reward. He wanted that fame and prestige of all this material wealth that King Balak could give him, and to know that he was this special friend to the king. You know, that appealed to his flesh. It doesn't say here that they came and called him. God said, if they come and call you. It almost seems to me like there was such a drive for what Balaam really wanted that he was, I don't know, was he ready to go before the princes, before the messengers got up? I'm not sure. But there was no hesitation on his part to go with them. I believe it. His actions revealed where his heart really was. I believe what he said in verse 18, when he said, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord of my God to do less or more. I tend to feel that those were empty words. They sounded good, but in his heart, there was something else. He lusted after that fame and riches. And in 2 Timothy chapter 6, we have the warning of not setting our heart on the riches, the wealth of this world. He that will be rich falleth into temptation and snare. He that will be rich. I don't care if it's the poorest man in the county or the richest man in the county. If their heart is just set on riches, they're in for trouble. We cannot fill our heart with these temporal things where it crowds out God and what He has for us and be right with God. Now we work with these things. It's good that we do. We need to be busy, but let's not set our hearts on these things. Let's keep our hearts after God. I had to just think, how is it with me this morning? How is it with you this morning? Where is my heart? Where is your heart? You know, I can't see your heart and you can't see mine. But you can see my actions. And we often have heard that saying, your actions speak louder than words. So let's examine our hearts this morning. Are we hankering after the fame and riches of this world? Or do we truly want God's approval upon our lives and the joy and the peace and the satisfaction that comes from serving Him, seeking His will? Verses 22 through 31, we have God faithfully working with Balaam, trying to help him understand that his way, his actions were perverse before the Lord. Even the donkey had better vision than Balaam. He could see the angel of the Lord standing in the way. Balaam couldn't. Balaam's heart was set after what Balak had to offer him. If it hadn't been for the poor donkey
crushing Balaam's foot and lying down underneath of him, and at least three times he saved Balaam's life. It was the angel of the Lord stood in the way with his sword drawn. Finally, in his great rage, he said, "If I had a sword in my hand, I'd kill you." And the donkey began to talk with a man's voice. And still that didn't affect Balaam. According to what I find in the scripture here, he couldn't even be brought to his senses when the donkey started talking to him. It was when he finally, the Lord opened his eyes and he saw the angel there with his sword drawn. And then he kind of came to his senses. But what really, really impressed me is that in verse 32, the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me." And then we go down to verse 34, and Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me." Well, now, it seemed to me like if he really believed he had sinned, he wouldn't just say, "I didn't know you were standing in the way." He said, he said, "If it displease thee, I will get me back again." If it displease thee. When he had so much proof that his actions, his way was displeasing to God. If it displease thee, I'll go back. That's not obedience. That's not being repentant. True repentance is understanding we've sinned against God and that we're held accountable for that and we're sorry for it. And we turn around and go the opposite direction. If it displease thee, I will get me back again. I believe we have a prime account here of a person, of how a person can get so bent on taking their own way. It's frightening. It's serious. We can allow ourselves to become so bent on taking our own way that we can't even understand the miraculous fact of a donkey speaking in man's voice. We can't understand the wonderful words of God in His Word because we're so bent on taking our own way. God had made His will known very clearly to Balaam. But Balaam was not satisfied with God's answer. Balaam went with the messengers. The angel withstood him in the way. God was faithfully working with Balaam, trying to get him to understand. But Balaam was determined to take his own way. Then finally he had the nerve to say, "If it displease thee, I will get me back again." Well, the angel told him, go on with the men. Go with these messengers. Brothers and sisters, like I said before, God will not force us against our will. Balaam's will was to go with the messengers. God told him to go. He said, but only speak what I tell you to. And Balaam prophesied many beautiful things. He even talked about the Redeemer coming. If I can. Yes, chapter 24 and verse 17. The latter part of the verse says, He said, "There shall come a star," capital S on star, "out of Jacob, and a scepter," capital S again, "shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth." So a prophecy there of Christ's coming. Yes, he said these things. But
I believe that Balaam partially obeyed. He did pronounce many, many blessings on Israel, but to receive the reward that the king had for him, he had to say more. And he did. It doesn't say it right here. But we turn over to chapter 31. Numbers 31. In verse 16. Now, between here, there was... the Israelites became involved in very gross sins. And anyways, there were many of them that died because of the sin that they were involved in. Now verse 16 says, "Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord." Somewhere along the line, we don't have record of it, exactly when it happened, but I believe Balaam's heart was set on these rewards. And so he counseled Balak to cast a stumbling block in front of the children of Israel. He caused them to sin. Balaam, at one point, said, "Let me die the death of the righteous." And then Numbers 31 and verse 8 says, "Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword." Brothers and sisters, he died in the camp of the enemy. He did. The story of Balaam is a very sad story. A man that had a knowledge of God, but refused the grace of God to put it to practice in his life. You know, that can happen to us. We're capable. God created us with a brain, with a mind. And we are capable of sitting down and reading the Word of God and have all the right answers. But knowledge without the grace of God to put it to practice in our lives only puffs us up. It's, what value is it if we don't apply it to our lives? We turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. Pardon me, 2 Peter. 2 Peter 2, verse 15. Speaking here of those that call themselves one thing and are something else, says, "Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves," in verse 13, "with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery," and all that. Verse 15, "which have forsaken the right way, and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved the wages of unrighteousness." Here in God's word, it clearly says that he loved the wages of unrighteousness. What an awful price to pay for loving the wages of unrighteousness. In the book of Romans, it says that gift of God is eternal life, but the wages of sin is death. It's death, spiritual death, eternal separation from God, eternal suffering in hell, all for the sake of a few earthly treasures. How sad. Turn to Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. The letter to the angel of the church of Smyrna. I'm sorry. the church at Pergamos. Verse 14, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication." How sad when a person has a knowledge of God, knowledge of his will, and turns away from it, and finally dies in the camp of the enemy. Thankful this morning that that doesn't have to be the end of the story. Today, God gives us the opportunity to accept him, his will, and live for him, and be prepared for our encounter with him. Let's pray.